the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. We have got Golf Talk coming your way, and we've got a lot going on with Golf Talk. We have got three interviews, more than what we usually have, but there was a lot of news that occurred over the weekend. So we're going to be joined at 7:10 by one of the guests that was had a big weekend, and that's Trenton Johnson. He won the Willow Creek Invitational. We're also going to talk to Connor McKay, who's the winner of the Tennessee State Amateur. And then Cade Russell. Cade Russell is an interesting story. He is a really good player, Tennessee player, that reached the semifinals of the match play. And yet, for whatever reason, he's had people firing aces against him when he's in competition. We'll talk to him about that. All of that coming up on Golf Talk with my co-host Braxton Hunter at 7 o'clock. It's now time for the Sports Fix at 6. And we're going to give away a $25 gift card to Batteries Plus Bulbs. They provide high-quality products. They offer national brands and exceptional value. Your one-stop shop for specialty batteries, bulbs, chargers, and phone accessories. They also have expert installation, nationwide warranty, Batteries Plus Bulbs. All right, Vince, I got a kind of a weird trivia question here, but we're going to trot it out there and see if it works. So, on this day in 1934, Babe Ruth hit home run number 700. He did it against a pitcher from the SEC. Name the school. Name the school that produced the SEC pitcher that gave up home run number 700 to Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth hit his 700th home run on this day, 1934. Name the SEC school that was produced by this pitcher that gave up Babe Ruth's 700th home run. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on the Sports Fix.
Jimmy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. Mark, how are you?
Hey, I wasn't able to make it to this game, so this is going to be a guess. LSU.
It's not LSU. I can see why you would guess
okay.
LSU. Yeah.
What now?
I could see why you would guess LSU, but it's not LSU.
Okay. Buddy, have a good night, okay?
You too, Mark. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you're on the Sports Fix.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Good, Paul.
Well, he took my first guess. Alabama.
It is not Alabama.
No, all right. Y'all have a good night.
Okay, you too. Let's go to Danny. Danny, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Hey, Danny.
Pretty good. Is it Auburn?
It's not Auburn.
Not Auburn. Okay, thank you.
Not Auburn. Okay. Danny, we appreciate it. Let's go to Donna. Donna, you're on the Sports Fix. Donna? Donna, you with us?
Yes, Georgia.
It is not Georgia.
Okay, thanks.
No. Okay. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm going to guess Vanderbilt.
Not Vanderbilt, but we're getting closer. It's not Vanderbilt.
Thank you.
Once again, Babe Ruth's 700th home run was hit on this date, 1934. The pitcher that allowed it played at an SEC school. Name the SEC school. Let's go to Andy. Andy, you're on the Sports Fix.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Is it Tommy Bridges from the University of Tennessee?
It is Tommy Bridges from the University of Tennessee. I didn't know that till today. I'm watching ESPN, and they scroll, and they say Babe Ruth hit his 700th home run against a six-time All-Star pitcher, Tommy Bridges. I'm like, wait a minute. Tennessee had a great pitcher by that name. And so I Googled it, and sure enough, it was Tommy Bridges, who was a six-time All-Star. And he gave up that home run in 1934 to Babe Ruth. At that time, no one else in Major League Baseball had hit more than 350 home runs. So Babe Ruth had double what anybody else had in home runs. But Tommy Bridges is a pitcher that gave it up from the University of Tennessee. I thought that was interesting. Andy, did you know that, or did you happen to see the same scroll I saw?
I actually wrote a paper on Babe Ruth in high school, and that was one of the things that I put in it.
Well, how about that? It pays to write papers, doesn't it? It gets you $25 gift cards for sure.
And remember them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, good job. It was Tommy Bridges that gave up home run number 700 to Babe Ruth. Hey, Andy, congratulations to you. You have won a $25 gift certificate to Batteries Plus Bulbs. And so they provide high-quality products, and they offer national brands an exceptional value. So congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Andy, good job.
Thank you so much.
All right, and that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6. Vince, I had no idea that Tommy Bridges, I had heard of Tommy Bridges. I knew about him. I was aware of how good of a pitcher he was at Tennessee. But I didn't know he was the one that gave up number 700 to Babe Ruth. I thought that was just an interesting twist for today's Sports Fix.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well done on that one.
Yeah, so I'm glad we got a winner. I thought it would be harder to say who was the pitcher, unless Andy called, because Andy wrote a paper about it. He would have known. But anyway, I just thought that was an odd bit of trivia to fire out there. So, all right, we've got more to talk about. We've got other things to discuss in terms of a visa situation. I mentioned earlier about Tennessee men's basketball players should be okay, but there was a movement today. We're going to talk about that a little bit later to make sure there's an exemption for the student-athletes that are foreign student-athletes. But we're going to be joined by Al Brown when we come back. Al Brown was a longtime Lady Vols assistant, longtime Duke assistant. Knows Carol Lawson very well. He'll talk to us about Duke's women's basketball hire. With Vince Ferrara, I'm Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk 99.1, the sports animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1, the sports animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. We're now pleased to be joined by a longtime friend, great guy, and that is Al Brown. Al Brown, a former assistant coach at Duke. Also, he was an assistant coach for many years with the Lady Vols. Al, how you doing?
Doing great, Jimmy. Good to be on the air with you and Vince, talking a little basketball in this sports star season that we're under. And it's great to get back and at least talk a little bit about some basketball things that are going on.
Well, you can whet our appetite with Carol Lawson. She takes the job at Duke, women's head coach. She's not been a head coach before. Do you think that's a good hire by Duke?
Well, I think it's obviously it's an interesting hire. She has a lot of qualifications as a player, as an analyst, and she has worked with the NBA, the Washington Wizards, and the Boston Celtics, and she's done a lot of different things, coached 3-on-3 overseas, both the men and the women in the 3-on-3 competition that's just recently been adopted worldwide. So she has a lot of basketball background. And if you're going to hire someone with no experience for a job like Duke, you probably made the right hire. But it's a very, very difficult job for her because she's never been a college assistant. She's never recruited. She's never been a head coach, whether it be high school or other than the 3-on-3 I alluded to earlier. So it's... And she doesn't have a staff in mind because she's been working with the Celtics. And naturally, there's nobody that she's been close to in that regard recently that will be working with her. So she'll have to put a new staff together. And that that's a challenge. And, of course, with the summer challenge in recruiting, with the virtual recruiting that's going on this summer, she hasn't had a chance to see high school players in action. And we'll have an opportunity now the rest of the month, I would guess, to do that. But it's a daunting challenge. Really, the only hope, I think, for her to get everything squared away and get off on the right foot would be the fact that there might be a limited season or no season.
She was she played for the Lady Vols, and she was there when you were Lady Vols assistant coach. And I wonder how impressed you were with her knowledge of the game when she was a player at Tennessee.
Well, Jimmy, it's interesting because one of the comments that that I share with her back and forth, and she, I get a kick out of what she remembers. When she came in as a freshman, she became a starter right away in 1999-2000 season. And she said to me, she said, "I want to be an All-American. What can I do? How can I become an All-American?" I said, "All you have to do is pass the ball to catching." And yeah. So she took that to heart and was a point guard at that point in time and did a good job even as a freshman doing that. But one of the things, Jimmy, that was interesting about her when she was coming up as a young player in her formative years was the fact that she had an interest in all sports. She loved football. She loved baseball. More men's sports than women's sports, but she liked them all, studied them all, and was a real, really absorbed information from a lot of different people, a lot of different coaches in different sports.
Al, what do you think Pat Summitt's specific advice would have been to Kara for taking this position?
Well, I think Pat would have been encouraging to her and told her that this was a really good opportunity at a high level. I think Pat would also caution her to hire the right assistants to help her, particularly people with knowledge of the college game and experience in the college game, to help her recruit as much as anything, and she can handle the coaching X and O part of it, I think, with obviously some help, but she's good at that. But that's what I think Pat would tell her. You know, go for it, take it. I'm backing you, but get a good staff around you.
With your background at UT and then knowing that you were on the Duke staff in prior years, did Kara reach out to you at all to talk to you about this opportunity?
She didn't talk to me about this opportunity. We talked, interestingly enough. I conveyed some of the information to Jimmy because we were talking about the bubble and the Boston Celtics being in it and then playoffs. And prior to McCauley at Duke's resignation, probably 10 days ago, maybe, whatever it was, Kara called and we talked at length about the NBA and the new experience coming up with the bubble, but nothing about the Duke job, and it wasn't open at that time.
And what does she take over in terms of roster next year at Duke?
Good question and a good point. Her roster, Kyra Lambert, her star point guard, who was a graduate transfer, went to Texas A&M. That hurts her. She had another young lady that was going to transfer. I don't know if she will now. She has a limited roster, an inexperienced roster. It's going to be a very difficult challenge with North Carolina State right next door with a veteran team, Louisville the same way, Florida State the same way. So she's got her hands full with the roster that she has in place or will have in place if the season opens.
Our guest, Al Brown, a former Duke assistant coach, former Lady Vols assistant. He was a Lady Vols assistant when Carol Lawson was playing for Tennessee. Al, what's the bigger challenge for Carol Lawson right now? Is it putting the staff together, or is it recruiting? And I just wonder if those go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand, Jimmy. And she, being in the pro game and being a college analyst with ESPN, she doesn't follow the high school scene. She doesn't know AAU coaches. She doesn't know high school coaches. The biggest challenge will be to get a staff that knows talent and knows the talent that's out there. Now, the word on the street is she's the best player in the country. She's trying to hire her dad. So she's making a step in the right direction if that occurs.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Do you think that the fact that she has coached at all these different places, different levels, you mentioned 3-on-3, NBA, do you think that helps her in being a head coach to have been exposed to so much versatility in the college game?
Well, I think so, Jimmy. All those experiences, you know, to tell you what a kind of a person she is, she came over to Duke when I was there and spent, 4 or 5 days with Coach Cutcliffe watching his preseason practice sessions and how he organized and everything. So she has constantly learned from different coaches and absorbed a lot. She's a very intelligent young lady and learned a lot from different coaches. And that's how you learn to be a head coach, is from studying the coaches that are very successful. And she has done that at all levels.
She said, and she was quoted as saying after she was hired at Duke that she'd always wanted to be a coach. And I wonder when maybe she first expressed that interest to you.
Well, that's an interesting point. I don't think she ever really was that excited about being a coach. She studied the game in various sports. I thought she was a natural for ESPN in terms of the total sports package they offer. But she once said to me, if I was going to be a head coach in college, I would like to be a head coach at Notre Dame, Stanford, or Duke. Now, that goes back to her high school experience, because her dad wanted her to go to Duke or Stanford, preferably Duke, because it was close to Virginia and her home. But she chose Tennessee, and, of course, many people may know the story. He didn't even come to watch her play for the first couple of years that she played, because he resented the fact that she made the decision to go to Tennessee.
Why do you think she went against her dad's wishes? Was it the Tennessee program and Pat Summitt? Do you think that's what persuaded her to take the Lady Vols over Duke?
Well, I think there's a couple things. Her dad was very military guy and very much into education and getting a degree, a prestigious degree. And I think more than anything else, he felt that the Duke degree would be more prestigious. Forget about Tennessee. It was just more prestigious than a lot of schools in the country. And I think that's one of the reasons he encouraged her to maybe examine Stanford or Duke.
Also, I wanted to ask you about this in regard to kind of switching gears a little bit. Al, there's been a situation, as I'm sure you know, with foreign students, and they are required, just as all foreign students are, student-athletes, to take in-class courses, or else they must go back to their country. I understand there was a movement today to waive that or relax that a little bit. But and in fact, some of these places, if you're living in the United States, you can't even get back to your home country. Do you think it'd be a bit unfair to try to send some of these student athletes back to their country if they can only take online classes in the United States in college?
Well, I think as many ridiculous things as occur in our country for various reasons, the idea that you are treated differently in terms of the online classes than the American students, I really don't know enough about it to speak intelligently about it, but it doesn't make any sense to me. They're all students, and they should be allowed to, foreign students should be allowed the same privileges that American students are allowed, as far as I can see. I don't know why that has been brought up.
Yeah, I'm with you. That to me, that doesn't make sense, and especially considering our circumstances. I wonder, Al, what you think, just stepping off of the college topic, how you think the NCAA, the NBA with this bubble, is your level of confidence that this season is going to go off, has that changed over the last 3 or 4 weeks at all?
You mean by season, Vince, you're talking about the upcoming NBA season or the bubble
Correct.
Situation that they're going through?
Yeah, having the season take place based on, you know, more COVID cases in Florida and, you know, some players testing positive, is your confidence level that the season will play out, has that changed with the spike in cases over the last month or so?
Well, what I think, Vince, is this is a test case for the NBA as well as the many other sports, professional sports teams, and colleges for that matter, that are having student athletes back on campus. Let's just see how it's going to play out. I think the idea that the NBA is going to finish a season that should be already finished is somewhat ridiculous. But it also gives, I think, an indication of what can be done later on, in fact, for the coming season, meaning the 2020-21 season. I think it's just a test case as much as anything, and it will be interesting to see how it plays out. But the fact that they're actually playing 22 teams and is to me, the season ended when it ended in March, and this is just a exercise in futility as far as I can see.
Al, back to Tennessee. Josiah Jordan James talked to the media on Friday, I guess it was, and one of the things he talked about is how he had to adjust to the coaching of Rick Barnes, and he said, definitely don't take it personal. I got caught up doing that sometimes last year. Those were the toughest times. Can you hear me, Al?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay, so I was just asking back to Tennessee, Josiah Jordan James talked to the media last Friday, and one of the things he mentioned was how he had to adjust to Rick Barnes' coaching style in practices, especially his freshman year. And he said, definitely don't take it personal. I got caught up doing that sometimes last year. Those were the toughest times. I'm sure when you hear that, you probably say, well, I could have told you that, that he's going to coach you tough and not take it personal. What do you think of his comments and now being self-aware that that's what Rick Barnes wants best to coach you that way?
Well, I think he's finally realized, and it's nice that he expresses this verbally, but the adjustment that a freshman makes almost without exception in any college program is a big one, getting used to the coach, because you have to get used to the coaching staff, particularly the head coach, because all these people have been very kind to you as they recruited you. And then all of a sudden you get on campus and you find that this person that was so nice to you and told you how good you were is trying to tell you that you're not that good right now. And it's a tough adjustment for almost every freshman player, regardless of being a man or a woman player. And him owning up to it is a step forward in maturity, as far as I can see.
Al, I got one of the. Kelly Harper has three commits from five-star players. Do you think that that program is going in the right direction with recruiting at that level?
Well, I think it is right now, Jimmy. It's so much up in the air with this uncertainty over the summer and what's going to happen this fall. Kelly and her staff have done a great job of identifying talent and bringing them to campus, or at least hopefully getting them to campus. So I think it's all a good sign. There's no question she can coach the game, and her staff is outstanding as well. But you have to have players, and they're assembling them, and they have good players returning. So it's encouraging, and certainly we are hopeful that there will be a season unfold that you will be able to watch them in action.
Al, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us, and best to you, and stay safe out there, and we hope to have you join us again sometime in the near future.
Thanks
a lot, Jimmy. I appreciate you and Vince having me on today. It's a pleasure being with you and wishing you both safe and healthy futures.
Thanks, appreciate Al. It. Appreciate it. And that is Al Brown, former Lady Vols assistant. He coached Kara Lawson when he was at Tennessee, also a former Duke assistant, and his take on Kara Lawson. When we come back, we'll have more. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Sports Talk, 99.1, the sports animal. Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrara. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. This is a bit of sad news. I know a lot of Tennessee fans will remember Michael Rivera. Michael Rivera was a tight end at the University of Tennessee. He has gone on to have a really nice career in the NFL, and frankly, he did better at the NFL level than I thought he might, but he's had a nice career at the NFL level. When he was at Tennessee, we were aware that his sister was on the show Glee, Naya. There had been a report recently that she had been missing and her four-year-old son was found on the boat where they had gone out together. They have now found her body. Unfortunately, she has passed away. Really, really tough situation. Michael Rivera's sister passing away, Naya. Also, Vince, we've talked a lot about the SEC, about the scheduling, what they might do. I know there was a meeting with the SEC and the athletic directors today. I can tell you that recently Greg Sankey said he had a high concern about even playing football. We're running out of time to get this thing right, is what he said. The reality is not good. And so he had the meeting with the athletic directors today. What did he say after their meeting, Vince?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm trying to pull it up here as I'm having internet issues and grab it back what he said. But here it is. It is clear that current circumstances related to COVID-19 must improve, and we will continue to closely monitor developments around the virus on a daily basis. We believe that late July will provide the best clarity for making the important decisions ahead of us. That is Greg Sankey. I thought it's very interesting that he came right out and his first sentence was, it is clear that current circumstances related to COVID-19 must improve, and we will continue to closely monitor developments around the virus so on a daily basis. So that's telling you, that to me should be an alert that if we continue down this track, that this is putting the season in jeopardy for a lot of people, that we can't keep going like this and bringing and having a bunch of positive tests on campuses once you follow up you know, when they're on campus. So I thought not a long statement, but I thought a very clear one from Greg Sankey today.
Well, I've been saying since May, if people want to have college football, they need to start abiding by the guidelines. They need to practice social distancing or wearing a mask or whatever the guidelines might be. And here we are. We opened things up, and we've had just an incredible outbreak, a lot more deaths. We have doubled our death total in Knox County over the last week. We've had tremendous outbreaks. Florida had 15,000 positives recently, which was a record. Brett McMurphy reporting that there were 190 student-athletes at Kansas State that were tested. 29 of them had a positive test. There are only two that are currently positive. And this is really shameful. I was watching the news last night, and I can't remember what state. I thought it was in Texas. But they had one of these silly COVID-19 parties where the people didn't believe you could get COVID-19, so they were partying and having a good time and all this stuff. A 30-year-old got COVID-19, and when he got it, he said, gosh, you know what, I thought this was a hoax. I realize now how serious it is. I realize now that I should have been abiding by the guidelines. The person's dead. They died. I mean, people think this is a hoax. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is a very serious situation, and the person that just died was going along the same lines of this isn't a big deal. It is a big deal. And the problem is, it may not be you that gets infected to the point where you're hospitalized or on your deathbed, but you, by getting it, could infect somebody else who could infect somebody else who dies. If you infect somebody that's got a pre-existing condition, they're in bad shape. That's what makes the thing so serious. So if you don't want to have football, then keep going to parties, keep going to pools with 500 people, and keep continuing that behavior, and we won't have college football. You'll get your wish. Of course, I understand not all of these people are college football fans, but most people in the South are college football fans. And I just don't understand, what does it take for people to take this seriously? I don't get it. This is not political. This is reality. And I just don't get it. But, if we continue with this trend, Vince, I'm very doubtful we're going to have college football.
Very well said, Jimmy. And I'll add one other little thing to that. People talk about the death rate and use that as the, hey, the death rate is down. I mean, it's only those with pre-existing conditions. It's only the elderly. It's only the elderly with pre-existing decisions. So we want to have them, their lives end because people want to be reckless. Why is that? And yes, it's you could feel fine and be an asymptomatic carrier and then get it to someone that does have those conditions, and then their life ends earlier than what it should, and impacts all of those lives. It just the disregard of the people that have passed away and then might, based on the way people carry themselves, is alarming. And those that say, oh, those of you want to wear masks, it's political, it's this conspiracy, it's that, well, you're just as guilty of the politicizing of it as anyone else, because it is divided. And I came from Florida, where it's seeming like the divide is greater. The people that want to live their lives are going out of their way to show and live their lives, and you see the numbers go up, and then those that are scared to death are having to be even more over the top careful despite the mandates. And it's just the divide in this country with this issue and so many other things is really saddening, honestly. And I'll say one other thing. Josiah Jordan James, in his call last week, he mentioned that the severity of COVID-19 was enhanced based on a couple of his teammates getting, you know, testing positive. And that's, look, it's natural to let your guard down. If young people are feel invincible, and athletes often feel invincible, well, what happens when you have a young athlete? They're going to feel even more invincible than normal, and it's natural if you don't have those symptoms. So these things happening, these positive tests around these kids, have to be a wake-up call and an alert that you have to take it seriously. And that also tells me that he and some of his other teammates probably didn't take it as seriously and think it could impact them as it can, clearly. And hopefully that resonates with them and those at Ohio State and Maryland and North Carolina. These need to be learning lessons so people understand that in the short term, you can't, for the betterment of football, you can't go about your business normally until we get through this, and then we can get back to normal. But we'll see how it plays out. The reaction to this is going to determine what happens in the end.
Well, it is, and when I saw these outbreaks, that is what I mentioned a couple of 3 weeks ago. I'm less optimistic about the return of college football than I've ever been. I thought that we were going to go in the right direction. I was wrong. If you look at the uptick in California, Texas, Arizona, Florida, just not good. And then we've had an uptick in Tennessee. Knoxville's a hot spot now. So we've not done a good job with this. We're not going in the right direction. And that's what has me greatly concerned about the ability to have, and not just college football, but a lot of sports. A lot of sports we could be missing out on, unfortunately.
And boy, Jimmy, what a big test that is in Bristol on Wednesday when you're gathering that large amount of people.
The good thing is that arena is big enough to social distance properly.
Mm-hmm.
When you got 160,000 seats and you got 30,000, let's say, that are there, that's a ratio of less than 20%. So you should be able to, I would think, handle that. But here's the thing. If they come out clean, great. If they come out and there are a bunch of positives that are impacted by this, boy, that's a tough sign. Because a lot of places are trying to figure out a way to limit crowds. I mean, I do think it's interesting. We went over this with Doc Punch, but there are a number of places out there, like at Texas Speedway, that's looking at going 50%, and yet they're going to run a race in Kansas City, and how many fans are going to be there? Zero. They're not allowing fans in Kansas City, which is after the Texas race. So it's just an interesting situation that we have out there. So anyway. Hey, when we come back, we will have more. If you want to join us to sneak in a late call, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
You ever notice how stations that promote less talk never actually say anything worth hearing in the first place? We talk sports all the time. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Vince, you were mentioning what Josiah James said earlier. The comment that really caught my attention was also this. Here's what he said last week. I honestly think Victor Bailey Jr. is the best-kept secret in all of college basketball. If Bailey ends up being that good at point guard, look out. This has the makings of being a really special Tennessee team.
Yeah, I think they're a top 10 caliber team with the Pons, and Bailey is a big part of that. Obviously, the newcomers and the freshmen and Springer and Johnson and Walker, Yad and Asiki, who he had a lot of compliments for as well. But man, Victor Bailey is basically another addition to the signing class that's ready to go. That's been in your program and your system and your culture. I've got a chance to watch him practice a fair amount last year, Jimmy. I was so impressed. Now, one of the best in the country. I mean, I don't know. Does Josiah Jordan James know everyone's best-kept secrets to compare them? It's
sure
like somebody
does.
Saying, we have the best strength coach. Well, how well do you know the other strength coaches, you know? But I do think the bigger message is how much he believes in him, and I think that's outstanding.
A couple of other random notes. The Raiders have hired a chaplain. His name is Randall Cunningham, former NFL quarterback. He has started a church in Las Vegas. The Jags are talking about playing at 25% capacity. The Eagles fined DeSean Jackson over the comments he made put out there. He didn't say them, but he was using some quotes. And he is going to visit an anti-Semitic with some anti-Semitic with some. He had anti-Semitic quotes, and he is going to visit with some Jewish folks about that. Joe Burrow, he's partnered with an Ohio food bank in Southeast Ohio. You talk about somebody that gets it. Also, there's a meeting today, the NFL and the NFLPA, at odds over playing preseason games and testing frequency. Vince, I think that's kind of interesting. I think they'll have to play some preseason games. I guess the question is how many?
Yeah, I'm not sure the answer to that, but you would think they need to get some warm-up in some form or fashion.
Yeah, I think so, too. And also, Kansas City has re-signed quarterback Matt Moore. He's 35. He had two starts last year replacing Pat Mahomes. All right, that's going to do it. Vince, I appreciate it. Great to have you back. Look forward to you joining us again tomorrow.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, thank you. And we want to thank those that listen. We want to thank the guests that we had here as well. We got Golf Talk coming your way. My co-host Braxton Hunter, an instructor at Fairways and Greens, that and interviews with three different players. This is Sports Talk.